You're listening to Island Radio.
Hello, good morning. You're very welcome along to the weekend edition this Saturday morning with Greg Hughes. 8 minutes past ten. Hope we find you very well. Coming up on the programme, we hear calls for people to sleep on the streets of Letterkenny to raise funds for the Simon community. The Tip O'Neill Awards take place next Friday in Inishowen, with President Michael D. Higgins presenting the award. We'll preview the event. Drink Aware has advice for parents of students who get their Leaving Cert results this week. And Martina Devlin has a new book out called The House Where It Happened, which chronicles a real-life witchcraft trial which took place in Antrim. You can call the show 086-7700-555. That's 086-7700-555. Or call us. Yvonne's waiting to take your call on 074-91-25000. Or if you're on Twitter, tweet me at GregHughes2. Okay, so lots coming up for you between now and 12 o'clock. The menu there, just a sample of what's to be tasted. 086-7700-555 is that text line. Don't forget, you can text us in or call us on anything you want to discuss or comment on today, or any requests or dedications. Delighted to say that my guest in studio for the first part of the programme today is Desi Locke and Letterkenny's town planner. Desi, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And yourself?
Indeed, very well indeed. Good. Thanks very much. Enjoying the lovely aroma in the...
You've painted the place since I've been last here.
Yeah, we painted it yesterday, and I have to say the fumes are quite toxic.
Very good. We could have a good show here today.
I'm feeling giddy already. That's tight gloss now, there's no doubt about it, but sure, we'll see how we get on. Desi, before we have a look at some of the news, and there's some terrible, terrible news in the papers today, and we'll of course that, but also we want to look at some of the positives there as well. But just about your role as town planner, you're a couple of months into it now at this stage, aren't you?
But 6 weeks, Greg.
Right.
Town centre manager.
Town centre manager, I beg your pardon.
Not at all. I suppose it's a big challenge, but a wonderful opportunity. I think Letterkenny Town Centre has an awful lot to offer. There's challenges that are there. Otherwise, they wouldn't be looking for a town centre manager. Mm. But I do think that it's been a very good summer. I think business people in general have been unbelievable in the way they've reacted to an unbelievable downturn, a financial crisis, a global crisis, a national crisis. And they really have. Anyone who's remained in business has pulled out all the stops. They've cut the overheads back. And I do think what they're thinking now is that they're starting to look at reinvestment, and they're starting to see that there is a small bit of up. And what we're through now is build on that.
But what can you do, really? I mean, you know, what people want to see too, I presume, in a vibrant town centre, and that would require a lot of the vacant lots that are there being filled. Does that fall under your remit as well?
Absolutely. I suppose it's really bringing a shopping centre manager's principles to Main Street, bringing a focus to
that. So let's
pretend
it's an out-of-town, massive shopping centre, for the sake of argument, but it's actually laid out outdoors on a street. Is that the attitude you're taking to it? Yeah,
that's exactly it. And what we're looking through is increased footfall. And that can be done by, I suppose, greater citizen engagement, reintroducing people back to town centre, making sure there's events in town centre, making sure anything that's happening has got a town centre focus. Obviously, also, it is about selling, as you say, the vacant properties. I have also, at the moment, just finished a strategic plan for ways that I believe that can be done. I'll be presenting that to the town team, which is the business people who have supported that. This week, I'll also be presenting to the new municipal district this week with regards to how I believe the local authority can play a role within that.
And that's key, really, isn't it? Because I presume there is some funding required or some incentives required that require that need to come from local government. Do you need to work hand in glove with the local municipal authority?
Oh, they have an important role, a very important role. The elected members and the executive both, who I have to say have been very supportive of this particular initiative. We are ahead of the game. We're one of the first towns in Ireland outside the major urban cities that have appointed a town centre manager. This initiative came from Retail Excellence Ireland with regards to choosing two towns. Carlow and Limerick were the two towns that have been chosen. They put in two teams, but they didn't actually appoint a town centre manager. So I think the vision shown by the business people in Letterkenny under the chairmanship of Mark Bunchu has been phenomenal. And obviously we want to repay that, and we want to see something that can be sustained for many years to come. And hopefully we will see and reap the benefits in the town centre of Letterkenny, and indeed the county as a whole.
Yeah. Okay. let's have a look at some of the news that's making the headlines today, Desi.
Yeah, unfortunately, the big story is the two young twin boys who have been killed in County Cork. It's just devastating. It's something I think I find it very hard to comprehend for us all, that a family member would be involved with the thing and then for to take his own life. It's just something that you kind of think, unfortunately, you see in the horror movies and that type of thing. But there's two young boys have lost their life and their older brother also. And words just surpass. I see the mother saying she forgives, you know, and I suppose that's just heartbreaking. And the father, I think, sums it up and just says that his heart is broken, you know.
They have obviously the... it's impossible to comprehend the loss of the twin brothers. But the family has been decimated as well because they've also lost another son. And what they're going through now, one can only... it's impossible to imagine how they would cope with it. But people do. People have this coping mechanism, and friends and family. And if you're a religious person, perhaps your local parish priest or reverend or what have you, and the services are there, the HSC, I'm sure, are on board on that one. But a lot of questions will need to be asked to see what we can learn from this, I suppose, because there are, you know, some quite salacious reporting in the tabloids today, giving some background to the story.
Yeah, unfortunately, there seems to be a history of knife crime. There seems to be that the brother who seems to be responsible for this was in court very, very recently with regards to carrying of a knife. But I think there's much deeper issues that go beyond this. Even if you look at countries like America that would be more prone to this type of horrible situation, even there, it's very unusual for siblings to have this type of situation carried out. So again, there's some underlying issue, Greg, that you have to feel sorry for. There was obviously issues there around because these things just don't happen. But when you read the story that the two young boys had just come out of their school uniform, had returned from a playground, it's just heartbreaking stuff.
And also, too, we all then are challenged with how you discuss this with younger people. And I'm not just talking about maybe very young ones, but, you know, people in their early teens, early 20s. I suppose it's an opportunity to maybe have a conversation to see how people feel and maybe, you know, point them in the right direction to talk to someone if they feel they are, you know, particularly affected by this.
That's exactly right. The unfortunate situations that arise like this have to be used then for examples to make sure they don't happen again. Knife crime is something that I suppose engages us all. It's something we don't want to see on the up. The other issues with regards to how people deal with their anger, how people are dealing with situations, is there all our outside influences, what was the environment like, this type of thing. I'm not judging this particular case, but you have to look at these things to ensure that they don't happen again. Young people are very switched in now. Young people have instant communication about what's happening in the world that even we didn't have 10 years ago, and there's a lot of pluses with that, but there's also a lot of minuses with that, and there's pressures there that I don't think any of us could envisage 10 years ago.
There was a not dissimilar case in Sligo not so long ago, so it's certainly something that can't be ignored, and we need to take a really close look at it.
Yeah, and I think it doesn't help for people to be judging either way. What we have here, the situation, the factual situation, is that there's three brothers that are dead. A family has to cope with that. Obviously, the institutions have to look at what happened and try and ensure that these things don't happen again. Put in the proper supports for the family that are there now. But the one thing is that this is just abhorrent to everything we believe in.
Part of the media machine, and it's something that's been discussed in this programme before, and I don't want it to become sort of like, oh, here we go again. But some of the reporting of this case is designed solely to sell newspapers. The information, arguably, you can make a strong argument for it not being in the public interest, that there's a headline there, they've got a little bit of information, and they're judge and jury in the situation. This situation is so sensitive, perhaps maybe the editors could have taken a step back and thought, well, maybe this isn't about flogging copies today.
Yeah, and again, like, if you look even this morning, the amount of papers that are in front of me that have been produced today, you then have the online, you have the radio stations, everyone's trying to move a story on because that's the nature of the beast. We've 24/7 news coverage, wall to wall, 365 days a year. There's nothing that you can touch now, but you're being embargoed by some type of news story, sports story, whatever it is. So I think it's the age we're in, Greg, and I suppose everyone's trying to justify why they're there. They're all trying to earn a crumb, and unfortunately sometimes that does lead to a race to the bottom.
Yeah, well, look, it's on the front of a lot of papers. We had to address it. I know it's it's a difficult discussion for a Saturday morning. So maybe we'll move on, Desi. What else has caught your eye today?
Yeah, I suppose we've had the Exchequer figures this week, and primarily very, very healthy, very good. I know people in Donegal sometimes will say, well, we're not really seeing the evidence of any upturn. But the one thing we do know is that these recoveries have to take place elsewhere before we're going to see it trickle down to us. We've had fantastic figures. There's a bit of bantering going on with regards how this opportunity will be used in the upcoming budget. The one thing we do know is that the $2 billion is off the table. That's not going to occur. It's not going to happen.
Fianna Fáil were coming back from a massive low. And I would say a lot of observers and perhaps those within the party would have said, well, this government's making such a hames of it. You know, we're guaranteed to get back in. People said Fianna Fáil couldn't get back for two decades. But, you know, we're anticipating that, you know, there could be a wipeout. I'm not ignoring Sinn Féin in this situation. But look, it would require a coalition at the next general election. Do you think the likes of Fianna Fáil, and perhaps to a lesser extent Sinn Féin, are starting to worry about, from a purely political point of view, how these figures, you know, another 2 years to go, things are looking good. Maybe this government will get the credit for turning things around, bringing us back out of, you know, the Troika situation and what have you, and may actually, in reality, fare quite well in the general election? Or is there just... Well, what's your take on it?
Well, there's two parallels here. One, I think you're right. There's definitely areas, Dublin and the big urban cities, will look at this and they'll see that the benefits are happening there. There's also the danger that we seem to be overheating again within those particular areas. People in Donegal, I think, would still say we haven't really witnessed the benefit of that. But there's absolutely no doubt. These has to be a positive time for government. It has to be a positive time for the coalition partners. They always say that the summer's a good time for government, and there's no doubt about it. If you look at even the figures that are coming out with the ECB dropping to an historic low, as really as low as they can go. But I think the one thing that's really crying out, Greg, and an awful lot of commentators would have said this, that the quantitative easing that was used, the printing of money by both the American economy and the British economy, have seen a quicker recovery in their two economies.
I just wonder, though, are these things cycles really? And, you know,
there's an element of that.
I sometimes wonder if, you know, are some of these people driving the car with their eyes closed in that, you know, they'll get there anyway because it just goes in a cycle. And
yeah, I suppose the sad thing was we all become experts in bond prices and we become experts in markets because, again, it's been fed to us. But it is interesting when you look at, for the first time ever, that Ireland now are borrowing lower than United States of America, the biggest economy in the world. So there is an awful lot of positivity. There's absolutely no doubt.
And we've heard that too, you know, because we were speaking to Terry McAniff not so long ago about how the tourism, the hotels have done very well from that. You know, a lot of information I'm getting from the Wild Atlantic Way that, you know, there was an increase in tourism. I think people who've been out and about in our towns and villages and tourism spots would have seen more people around. I know I certainly did. Now, how much they're spending on it, I don't know. But, you know, maybe... You know, there are some people that want to stay in the dark, you know, because it's kind of a safe place to be sometimes.
True, and listen, a lot of events that were held around Donegal and even this week with the Tip O'Neill Awards, there's been an awful lot of positivity on that side. The tourism does definitely have seemed to have had a bounce. I think the 9% reduction to the 9% VAT rate is something that has to be held. I think the budget cannot touch that because, in fairness to business people and tourism providers, they held that, they use it as a marketing tool, and I think that's something that definitely should remain.
While we're on that issue, during the week, the Life Register figures come out. Under 20,000 for the first time in a long time here in County Donegal. There is a national figure whereby you can find how many people are in employment, and there has been an increase in that. I haven't been able to get a breakdown locally from Donegal. There is this sense that, you know, people are leaving and what have you, and we heard that from a councillor in the news today. But it's under 20,000. What's your take on that? Is that positive, or do we need to look at the figures to see if we have a 2 or 3 speed recovery?
Yeah, of course you have to do an in-depth analysis because there is people taken off to be put on schemes that are no longer counted. You have, unfortunately, people who have to immigrate out of the county and indeed out of the country, but at the end of the day it's still the figures going down, and that's something that has to be welcomed. It's less strain with regards to social welfare provision that has to come about with higher figures. But no, listen, it's a good news story.
Right.
It is a story that can be analysed.
I'm not going to turn this on you. Are you going to say positive on that? Do you have an onion by any chance? No,
I don't know.
Kathy says you can cut up an onion to absorb the smell of paint. It works a treat.
I have done that in the past.
Does it work?
It does. I have to agree with
Kathy. If we have any onions, no.
No, she's not even listening. Greg, could you ask Desi, will there be any bunting and flags in Letterkenny? It's very bare looking compared to Ballinfae, Donegal Town, which is awash with colour. That comes in from Kevin. Just in Donegal Town, my own local town, the roundabouts have been done up, the bunting is there, and the flags are up in the town. I have to say, it looks fantastic. I haven't been down through Letterkenny Main Street, but according to this listener, it does look a little bit bare. This is a charge that Letterkenny's had in the past when Donegal have been successful. What's the situ there?
Yeah, the situ, funny, I've spoken to one of the local clubs here and through Paul McGovern, who's going to coordinate it, and he's got a big event actually down in St Eunice today, and it's a wonderful event if anyone can get down to it. It's at Oak Sport on the 15, and some fantastic clubs playing. But we're meeting on Monday with regards to seeing what we can do with regards highlighting or even getting more bunting out there. I've spoken to local authority about the Polestar, which was a fantastic visual impact.
Well, it's as you're coming into the town, and you could almost be forgiven for other areas if people went to town on that. Something like Kieran Brogan did for the elections.
Kieran's very good at that. Huh? And maybe he'll come in and help us with this. But I think the turning of the green and gold that last time had an impact. But definitely we are going to better the situation, and we are going to appeal to people to come out and support us. And I've no doubt the business people Main Street will react very positively to that.
Well, we're sort of doing our bit to some extent here in that there's a fantastic competition running on Highland Radio for businesses whereby they can send in pictures to sam@highlandradio.com of how they've decorated their business or how they're marking Donegal's fantastic triumph so far, both senior and minors. And there's €1,000 worth of advertising up for grabs for that, just in case you haven't heard it and you're listening out there. So it's open to any business in the county, and take some pictures of how you have decorated your business. Email them in to us at sam@highlandradio.com, and then we have an independent adjudicator who's going to pick out a winner, and they'll get €1,000 of advertising, which is a very good prize. So that's one way of
that's a great incentive. And again, I would suppose appeal to the people in Letterkenny to indeed
well
the
bring it up at your meeting now, you can tell everyone about it.
I will definitely do that.
This is just a general on there. Are there any signs going to be put out the Glen Swilly Road for the Wild Atlantic Way? We are just classified. We are just classed as inland. Now, I don't know the situation there, but the point of view is out there that this listener believes that the Glen Swilly Road needs more signage for the Wild Atlantic Way. And I'm sure there's bodies or groups that you can approach in relation to that. It's not a done deal set in stone.
No, and I think the Wild Atlantic Way is a wonderful opportunity for the county. I think we're starting to reap and see the benefits already, but the local authority can be contacted by the listener, and indeed any of his public representatives would raise that for him with regards if there was extra signage needed, because I do think the signage is very effective. It's wonderful to see so much of that brown heritage tourism signage being erected, but I think Donegal will definitely be one of the counties that will benefit most from this whole marketing of the Wild Atlantic Way.
A texter says, pedestrianise the main street. All good towns have done this, like Galway, Cork, Wexford. I've no interest in walking the main street the way the cars are constantly moving. Is that a possibility?
Again, it's something that's...
Is it on the cards? Is it being discussed?
No, it's not. It's been discussed, but it's not definitely on the cards at the moment. There's an awful lot that has to go along with that. It's just not as simple as saying we're going to close the main street. You have to look at the car park, and you have to look at the attractions. I think the way to deal with this would be for maybe to pilot certain events and times and try and look to see that successful. But no, it would not be high priority at the moment.
I know Bundoran recently, I don't know if it's happened yet or it is going to happen, but I heard Shane Smith talking about it, where they have sealed it off for one day and they put in bouncy castles and all that type of thing, which sounds like a really good idea, but you'd obviously need a good traffic management plan in there and then discuss it with businesses to make sure it wouldn't be counterproductive. But
that's exactly it, and we've done it with things like the marathon that occurred recently, which was a massive success, bringing the main street. You have a 5k coming up now shortly, which will see parts of the street closed. So it is about working with business, but it's not something you can just say we're going to do this tomorrow. Yeah. You really do have to research it. You have to sell it to people if that's what you're going to do, and you really have to have certain criteria in place if it's to be successful.
A texter says, are you texting on the desk? No. Under the, okay. A texter says, can you just wish Desi best wishes? He's a true optimist and will do great things for Letterkenny. This comes in from Desi sitting opposite Greg. No, it's from Imelda in Falcarra. And another text here, congrats to Desi and the team on the marathon, well organised event. That really did go down a bomb, didn't it?
Yeah, it was fabulous. Letterkenny Athletic Club and the committee were just one of the best committees I've ever worked with, Greg. It was a small committee. Kieran Martin from the council, Paddy Hannigan, Eunan Kelly, of course the wonderful Danny McDade and Brenton McDade, Anne Conlon. You know, we just had a wonderful
team. Is it annual now?
We're meeting this week to discuss that. I would like to think it will be. I think we've done an awful lot of the heavy lifting with regards to what had to be done. But as I say, this committee put in an awful lot of work. Yeah. The Oral Leisure Centre were fantastic. They responded, the Garda, everybody, the business people in town, and of course the public came out and supported it, Greg. And the gods were with us in that the weather was fantastic. And it was definitely one of the
It would be a shame if the momentum was lost now, because I've heard nothing but positivity.
It definitely would. And I can't see that happening. But as I say, it takes money to run it. It takes time for people to do that, and we'll sit down and assess it this week, but I'd be very surprised if it doesn't become an annual event. And just to thank everyone out there for making it the People's Marathon.
086 77 00 555 if you wish to text or make a comment, or indeed send in a request, or call us on 07491 25000. Yvonne is taking calls there. You can tweet me at Greg Hughes 2. On relation to tourism, a caller says, where are the beehives in Donegal? You pay €25 in Kerry to see them. We have them somewhere in Donegal. We should be using this for tourism. It's the first I've heard of that, that perhaps beehives could be used for tourism, but all ideas welcome, I'm sure. In relation to how we're getting behind the Donegal teams, I think it would be a nice gesture for everyone to dress up their houses for the Donegal teams, and I think a lot of people are doing that. And in relation to employment, a caller says, the government schemes are useless. People are coming off the live register, the Gateway one especially, coming off for 22 months, and they are not guaranteed a job afterwards. And we'll just return to that briefly, Desi. It is a fair point because, you know, is it? I mean, people are going back to work. We know that. We've seen the figures. But a lot of the jobs perhaps are through some of these Gateway Jobs Bridge schemes, or are for pretty much what some people would describe as low payment.
Yeah, and I suppose there's two sides to that particular argument. I've seen the benefit of both. I've seen some wonderful people work within the county council. Unfortunately, because of the embargo that's there, they haven't been able to be kept on, but they have gained experience. In my own office at the moment, we have a young girl, Amanda McNamee, who is working a job, but also was working with me to gain experience. She's a recent graduate from the LYET. She's done that off her own bat. And again, I think a wonderful example, because unfortunately, the catch-22 situation that many people find themselves in is that when they go for a job and they can't show experience, they're being dismissed. So there's definitely arguments to both sides, but I do always think that experience is invaluable and is something you carry with you.
I met Desi recently and saw his PowerPoint presentation on his vision. It was excellent. Best of luck to you, says a texter. Another texter says, what about getting a weekly park run set up in Letterkenny? Do you know what a park run is? I'm not 100% sure what that is.
I'm not
is that
too
a run
sure.
around one of the parks, perhaps? I don't know.
Yeah, there's definitely an awful lot of activity going on with regard to running and walking.
Yeah, what about people who have ideas, Desi? I presume you're open to them. Is there a way they can
absolutely
contact you?
They can contact us. We've set up the Heart LK as our Facebook. We're also in the Courtyard
is that
Shopping
spelled
Centre.
Heart, I presume.
Yeah, HEARTLK. the heart of the town where it's all happening, Greg.
Come on.
I have to say it's fantastic. Take a look at it.
It is.
Really
it's
like
just it. The name. Go on anyway. It sounds good. It's growing on me. It's already good.
Good. Go on. And we're in the Courtyard Shopping Centre. Yeah. We're there Monday to Friday. We can be called in anytime. Again, my mobile number, email can be all got.
Super.
And we will take ideas from anyone and everyone.
And that's a positive thing. If people are feeling they are getting involved, text us just straight back onto us. Fair play to you. Parkrun is a free 5K weekly every Saturday morning at 9.30, run by volunteers. It happens elsewhere. It sounds nice,
sounds
actually.
Fantastic.
Because, you know, parks could be quiet that time of the morning. Yeah. And there are some
circular
routes.
Well, funny enough, the use of the park, there's a big event coming up now. It's a Cricket for All event that's done under the One Donegal and the Show and Development Partnership. And that's going to be a gala day in the town park with regard to cricket, and people being able to have tasters of batting cages and balls and this type of thing. Trevor Scanlon's running it. And again, I think everything we can do to bring something different to the different facilities we have can only bring people to Letterkenny and get that positivity.
Texter says move the Chamber of Commerce office into the town centre. That'd be a start. I'm not sure what the ins and outs of that are, but
yeah, the Chamber moved a few years back from the Port Road down to the new building, Canal Building. Again, it's a wonderful office. People had different views on should they have come to town centre or that. But again, the Chamber does represent the whole town and I think do a fantastic job in that.
Yeah, that's it too, because there is this divide that you don't necessarily, you know, that it's a perceived divide that you don't want to encourage. You know, I mean, you have to take it as a whole, don't you? Keep your texts coming in. Nice to see so many of you making contact this morning. 086 77 00 555. It's the weekend edition here in Highland Radio. You can call us too in 074 91 25000. Yvonne waiting to take your call there. Or on Facebook, it's / Highland Hub. Highland Hub. Letterkenny Hub. You can have that one.
Thanks. No,
Heart LK is a good one. I'm messing. What else is are we going to talk about, Desi?
I suppose the sporting avenues at the moment is just fantastic. You mentioned the marathon, which we're very happy with, but that came on the brilliant performances of people like Mark English, Brendan Boyce. We have the minor team, Donegal minor team, which has just been phenomenal, who started the whole momentum in Croke Park, and then the senior team just done us all so proud. And you had Paul McGinley on last night, who's going to captain the Ryder Cup.
I didn't see that. He was on the Late Show,
was it? Show, and again, he talked more about Donegal than he did about the Ryder Cup, which was fantastic. His mother and father, both Donegal people. Mick McGinley would have been at school with my own father. A wonderful man, not just in sporting accolade, but in business. And I think Paul McGinley is everything I like. He's positive, he's focused, he gets on with the job, and he never forgets where he comes from. And obviously himself and Michael Murphy and Neil Gallagher her and Jim McGuinness have a close relationship, and he was saying like he was sitting with regards to one of the biggest events in the world, 700 million people be watching, and he was texting under the desk, but like myself here, keeping an eye on the Donegal Dublin match. But I think last week, Greg, I think again, we love being underdogs, and we showed the country that we should never be written off.
Exactly, and we were written off, you know. Definitely. And I did vent a little bit on this programme last week on that, in that it was like people saying Donegal had nothing to lose. It was disrespectful almost, I thought. Yeah. Now, you know, I mean, we are used to disappointment, generally speaking, notwithstanding a couple of years ago. But you know what I mean? We've had so many false dawns, you know?
Yeah.
And it was great to see a fantastic team performance from both teams, and two fantastic managers that seem to know how to get it done as well. Jim McGuinness, you talk about there. I mean, was there any mention last night of his any further involvement with the Ryder Cup team? Or?
Well, they talked, no, not really directly about that, but I suppose that is a big part of what's happening. Like, it's amazing that himself and Declan Bonner were part of that 92 team, and here they are now reproducing for us again. First minor final ever. I think Declan Bonner's iconic salute after he scored that point where he got the two fists up at the one time. I still don't know how he done it. And Jim played a huge role in that also.
And in the past, you know, Desi, we may say, well, that was our final. Will the team be able to get back? All of that's off the table with Jim McGuinness, because that's not how things work with his teams. I mean, he seems to play in phases and the way his team want to play, regardless necessarily sometimes of what the opposition's doing to some extent. So I don't have that fear that, you know, we've had the peak and what will we do now in the final against Kerry, for either team for that matter. I think the just whatever way they are managed in the mind as well as in the body, I don't have that concern.
No, and funny enough, I love quotes, and one of my favourite quotes would be Abraham Lincoln's, that if you give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, I'll spend 4 of it sharpening my axe.
Yeah.
And I think Jim McGuinness does that. He has a plan. He always seems to have a plan. And in fairness, he has a panel of players that respond unbelievably to him. And to have that faith in him as a manager just shows you how much a motivator, how much a leader he is.
There's some talk of him being, you know, that maybe he could be a future Celtic manager. Do you see that happening? I mean, what I'd love to know, and not sure if any sports people out there have ever asked Jim McGuinness, is he doing his badges?
Yeah, well,
that would be quite...
I'm always reluctant because he's got us to an All-Ireland final. He's in the heart of planning for that. And I suppose people then, we kind of talk about his future and where it's going. I think his future is in a couple of weeks' time, Croke Park, taking us to beat Kerry, which to me is the dream All-Ireland. It is the absolute... Beating the Dubs in semi-final last week was phenomenal. Beating Mayo in an All-Ireland final was brilliant. Beating the Dubs in an All-Ireland final was brilliant. But I think as a young fella, the way we were raised on Gaelic football, Kerry is the team. Kerry is the county. They are the kingdom. And we're going to remove that crown, I have absolutely no doubt.
And what a double that would be, though. I mean, we'd have to shut down shop for a week.
Yeah, and again, I was out in the Oireann Leisure Centre recently, and the young minor team were working, and what a bunch of great lads, you know, and an awful lot of respect shown by them, and my God, I don't know what we're feeding them.
And some of those guys had to go back to school or go back to work the Monday.
Yeah, look at young Jigger O'Connor and the senior team that had done the leaving cert.
Yeah.
You know, it's unbelievable.
And the future's bright for the seniors, because we've got this Declan Bonner driven sort of conveyor belt of talent coming through.
Yeah, and again, it's all about inspiring. I was out at the Bonagie last night. The Young Community Games performers were back and they were honouring them, and you know, they were giving their certificates and medals. And the amount of people in the room, Greg, that are going on to represent Letterkenny in Donegal at a national level, in Athlone, it's just phenomenal. So it really does inspire, and we all inspire each other. And I think that the Donegal minors and the Donegal seniors are definitely leading by example at the moment.
And you mentioned Brendan Boyce and the fantastic performance he put in recently, and two, Mark English's performance was rewarded with selection, the only Irish selection on the European team, Team Europe, for the IAAF Continental Cup in Marrakesh, isn't it, in Morocco. So that's some testament to how well he's doing
absolutely
in his career, and it's how he's only going to improve.
Totally, and what a gentleman, and the way he responded to the people in Letterkenny. And again, you could link him back to that awards last night in Bonagie, where he performed at probably Mosney rather than Athlone, or could well be in Athlone. But it's all about that, and here we have people that are performing on the world stage. You have
I'm really optimistic. I'm delighted with Jason Quigley's doing so well. We really have a wealth of talent, and that's the tip of the iceberg. There's so many more, you know. Just a couple of comments here. Is it not better that people on the dole get the chance to get out and reintroduce themselves into the workplace again by taking part in these schemes? That's one side of the coin. Here's the other one. These schemes are purely slave labour. It's using people and openly doing it too. 086-7700-555 is the text number, text line. Call us on 07491 25000. Time's right against us, Desi. What do you want to finish upon?
I suppose the local property tax and everything that's going to happen around that. There's going to be some interesting conversations.
Yeah.
We've seen that, unfortunately, it's very disparative around the country with regards to what way it's going to be. You have councils in the papers today with surpluses of over 17 million. We unfortunately have the highest deficit in the country.
Because we have the lowest rate of compliance.
Well, I don't know if that's directly involved. We put in a lot of money from council with regards to capital projects and that, and I suppose the legacy of that debt then wasn't renewed or wasn't paid down or drawn down by government. There's been a lot of great work done on reducing that and trying to manage that. But the bottom line is that there seems to be going to be very little opportunity for the local members to reduce the local property tax. And if they do, it probably will have a knock-on effect on services.
See,
so it's going to be a hard decision for them.
I was trying to make it the point clear during the week, or try and be balanced in that regard in covering this, in that people are talking about, you know, we're going to get 14-odd million from the likes of Dublin that have this surplus. But it's not a bonus 14 million. That's only really to balance the books effectively, to keep us close to where we were at last year. So this isn't like, yay, the Dubs are giving us 14 million after we beat them in the semi-final. It's not really like that at all, is it?
No, it's definitely not. And that's the unfortunate thing, is that even the counties that will be paying that 20% into the aggregate fund will still have actually money to play with, where Donegal will be receiving money from the aggregate fund, the equalising fund.
Yeah.
We won't have that same I suppose, working arrangement to try and enhance services and bring services about. And as I say, we all want to see taxes reduced. We all want to see lower money having to be paid to either local government or national government. But at the end of the day, services have to be paid for.
And that's it. That's the dilemma. Wish Desi all the best on his new job. If anyone can do it, Desi can. Someone writing a poster for you. That's the Sweeney family in Tramore.
Thank you very much.
So fair play to them. Desi, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Hopefully we'll have you back again in the not too distant future.
Pleasure, Greg. And as I say, thanks very much for having me along this morning.
Best of luck with the town centre manager's job. A lot of support out there for you. It's far better than being a councillor. If you were sitting there 2 years ago.
Definitely.
All this love.
I have to say, in the town centre, there's a lot of people have popped into us.
Yes.
And you know, it really is. There's some brilliant characters still about Letterkenny. And as I say, there's an awful lot of wonderful things happening in around the town.
And
we can only hopefully build on that and try and make it even a more attractive place. So anyone out there, come into Letterkenny, visit, shop and spend. There's great value there. And definitely from Northern Ireland, a lot of the shops are offering from 20 to 25 cent on your sterling, so it really is value.
Other towns are available.
Absolutely.
Desi Larkin, thank you so much for that. 086-7700-555. Keep your texts coming in, keeping us busy on the programme this morning. Thank you very much. 07491 25000 if you wish to call. Yvonne waiting to take your call. Yeah, Paul did us proud, says this texter, mentioning the Donegal team and the Sunday match last night on the Late Late, but Ryan Tuberty wasn't too impressed. typical Dub. Well, Ryan Tubridy's got a thankless job in the seat as the Late Late Show, as the Late Late Show host. Okay, we'll be back. In fact, we'll be back with more on the programme after this quick break. Okay, over to Castle Derg now. We're joined on the programme by Gordon Spear, who is from the Castle Derg Peace Impact Programme. Good morning to you, Gordon.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you.
Tell us about this programme. It's had something of a boost lately, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, we're organising some events coming up over the next year or so, and the first main one is a piping hot in Castle Derg, which is, I'm sure people have heard it in Highland advertised the last couple of weeks. And it's bringing pipe bands and Uralian pipers and stuff to the town over the next weekend, 12th and 13th of September. And it's involving Collybacky pipe band and Thiepval Memorial, who won the World Championship from Convoy. And Gary Patrick McGovern, who's a world-class Uralian piper.
And these events are hugely important, aren't they? Because in Castle Derg, it's fair to say, and I want to be positive, but it's fair to say that community relations have been rocky over the last year or so.
Yeah, but we're running these events to try to improve relations again and just to build up relations and try to do events which will involve both cultures and get everybody to sort of display their cultures and backgrounds on a joint basis.
And that's it, Gordon, isn't it? The events have to have broad appeal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So just to remind us then, this sounds very interesting indeed about this next event coming up in the next week.
Yeah, well, it's the 12th of September. It's down in the Derg Valley Leisure Centre. It's Santos, which is a group. They've got a mixed traditions. They've got Dulce Scots, got Irish music and all. Used to be Kempta, but they've changed the name to Santos. And a 14-piece group who are going to do a concert. And then on the Saturday, we have a big concert at the leisure center, the castle site with the pipe bands and the Uralian pipers on an open-air basis, finishing off with a finale involving the Haunted Forest Choir.
It sounds fantastic. And it's not just for the community in Castle Derg. Everyone welcome to come and attend.
Oh, of course, aye.
All right, Gordon Spear, best luck and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, this Wednesday, thousands of students across Donegal and the country indeed will receive their junior cert results. And drinkaware.ie has issued some warnings to parents and students as it relates to alcohol consumption. I suppose the key message is if you're under 18, you shouldn't be drinking. But to discuss this further, we're joined online now by Fionnuala Sheehan, Chief Executive of drinkaware.ie. Firstly, Fionnuala, what would you say to those who may think when we have these type of conversations, we are on that line between being caring and killjoys?
Well, not killjoys really at all, remembering that junior cert students are generally 15, 15 and a half, maybe even 16-year-olds. They are under the legal drinking age. And I suppose where I'm coming from is just, drawing parents' attention to the need to be alert to underage drinking in the context of the celebrations, which the students will want to undertake, I think very deservedly, after the hard work they've put into doing the exams now, and they'll be getting the results in relation to them. And also, I suppose, really to call in licensees, those both selling and serving alcohol, to be vigilant also for underage drinking.
Because we know it does. Well, sorry, Fionnuala, we know it happens.
We know it happens, but I think the very good news, and I'm really, really keen to get this message out, is that, the latest evidence is showing us that a majority of our under-18s in Ireland do not drink alcohol at all. And I say that, I suppose, really, I want to underline that message because I know that particularly with, that age group of 14, 15, 16-year-olds, they are quite influenced by peer pressure. They are quite influenced, really, by what they believe are the behavioural norms that are prevalent within their peer group. But what they, believe in relation to the extent to which underage drinking takes place is probably, I think, inaccurate. So really for them to know that a majority of their group do not drink alcohol, it's not something they should feel under any pressure whatsoever to do. And, in the context of marking now their achievement, it would be a good time for parents to have that chat with their son or their daughter about, you know, what the plans are, to be involved in the arrangements for the celebration. You know, maybe it's going to be at home. We know increasingly parents are doing that. People have less money, but it's a really good way as well to involve all the family. Maybe bring the friends in. It's a more economical way of having the celebration. And if it is the case that your son or daughter is going out, I mean, do sit down and work out with them, you know, where they're going, know who they're going to be with, maybe drop them to where they're going. Certainly have a plan for your son or daughter to get home safely. Know how much money they're bringing for the evening. Keep it at a reasonable figure. And make sure that, you know, that there's sort of food and activity arranged into the evening of celebration.
And if parents are allowing their children to go out for the evening, perhaps it's the first time round for some, they'll wonder, well, you know, do you text, call on a regular basis? What time do you set for your child to come home? Is that down to each individual, or is there some guidance in that regard?
No, I think really, you know, we're talking about under 18s here. We're talking probably mostly 15, 16-year-olds. I do think that it's a very reasonable and important thing, you know, I would feel that for me as a parent, to know where my child is going, to have agreed with them very clearly, you know, what time they will be coming home. And maybe it is the case that I'm going to collect them. And if I'm not, I know exactly what the arrangement is for they to get home, you know, with a view to they getting home safely. And really the conversation that you're having with your child is from a perspective of concern for them, and equipping them also, you know, to make sensible and safe decisions in relation to themselves and the friends that they're going to be with.
And finally, as you say, you know, the statistics will show us that most under 18s don't drink, but it only takes one night, doesn't it? And as you mentioned, the peer pressure is there. It's a case of really just sticking by your guns if your decision is, and it should be if you're under 18, not to drink.
Absolutely. And to feel, you know, to feel strong, really, I think, as a young person, that's your decision. And the reason you're doing it, you know, you're doing because it's not something that you want to do. You want to be in control. You want to have a good night. You want to have a night for all of the best of reasons, and to have good memories, good and fond memories of a night, you know, of celebration with your friends and with your family that you want to look back on, you know, in time to come and be proud of and like.
Okay, and if parents will want more information, there's some tips and guidance at drinkaware.ie.
That's right, and because on that website there are guides for parents. There's one alcoholic guide for parents that we developed with input from experts in this field. There's also alcohol straight talking, a guide developed by the HSE for parents. So lots of non-judgmental advice there for parents and for young people themselves.
Okay, Fionnuala Sheehan, Chief Executive of drinkaware.ie, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Go high and long, looking for Murphy. Watson's in there. Murphy gets his hands in. Here's Colin McBuff. Colin McBuff can Ryan McKee. The ball's on the net. The ball's on the net. Ryan McKee.
Oh, Jim, I can't believe it. You're doing it again. The final's round the corner and we face the Kerry men. Since you came on the panel, you've done this county proud. So we're going to stand at Grove Park and we're going to sing out loud. Come on, Sam McGuire, come back to Donegal. We'll take you to the top of the hill and you'll sit proud and tall. A memory of 92 comes back to one and all. So come on, Sam McGuire, come on back to Donegal. You came to us in 2010, you had a four-year plan. But 2 years in, you had a win, and we brought home the sun. You've always spoke with passion and what we can achieve. And the one word that you've always used, we've got to believe. Cos it was down at the semi-final as Dublin were on top. Hill 16 were singing out the Dubs, we couldn't stop. But 20 minutes through the match, but you became the king. Hill 16 went quiet as Donegal began to sing. Ah, come on, Sam McGuire, come back to Donegal. We'll take you to the top of the hill and you'll sit proud and tall. A memory of 92 comes back to one and all. So come on, Sam McGuire, come on back to Donegal. Now you're way down in the county, Kerry, they'll be doing just what they can. And I've no doubt we'll get a shout from dear old Pat Spillane. He'll have something smart to say but he's up in that stand. But it's nobody's business, Pat, we're sticking to our plan. It's time to get your banners out and get your voices clear. We're gonna have a party up in Donegal this year. I'll have a drink, I'll buy a drink for Jim and all the crew. I will sing again like 2012 and 1992. Come on, Sam McGuire, come back to Donegal. We'll take you to the top of the hill, you'll sit proud and tall. A memory of 92 comes back to one and all. So come on, Sam McGuire, come on back to Donegal. Come on, Sam McGuire, to the hills of Donegal. We'll take you to the top of the hill, and you'll sit proud and tall. A memory of 92 comes back to one and all. So come on, Sam McGuire, come on back to Donegal.
Just to remind you of Highland Radio's All-Ireland Final Forum, it's in aid of the Donegal Team Training Fund. It's going to take place in Ungreen on Theatre Letterkenny on Thursday, the 18th of September at 8pm. Tickets just €15 and they're on sale at the Theatre Box Office. There'll be top panel of guests. We'll confirm those in the coming days. Brilliant live music too, including David Craig, who you've just heard, as requested, by the way. David Oliver, the Cufflinks, and Conall Gallans there as well. So it's for the All-Ireland, it's the All-Ireland Forum, and it's for the Donegal Team Training Fund. So if you can get along to that, it's going to be a cracking night. Ursula McGrath and Mark Molloy are going to have a fantastic day today, hopefully. It's their wedding day. A request for you too from John, Helen, Joseph and John. Another one for you, this coming in for Ursula's from Ursula's sister, wishing you both the best on your wedding day. That's from the McGrath family in Burnfoot. And for Brenda O'Donnell and Eugene Sheridan, who are getting married today, from your mum, Carmel, and bridesmaids, Rosaline and Catherine and Ellie. And it seems, by all accounts, to do our Saturday morning weather watch for weddings, that today's going to be a good day. So there you go. You can't plan that in advance, but it seems it's going to fall well for you.